No matter what some politicians may want you to believe, there are no shortcuts to win this game. There's only the long and hard road. However, also no matter what some charlatans might say, there will be an end of the road if we just keep on fighting the radical way. And when we're finally there at the end, then National Socialism will rise again.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. This is episode number 23. I am Fredrik Weideland, and with me is the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg. Greetings.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm just fine, thanks. It has been a hectic period behind us with the elections and everything, but yeah. We will talk about all of this later, so but I'm just fine.
Yeah, so hectic that we did forget to broadcast the last week, which I apologize for, because we promised that we would be back 14th of September, and now we are back the 21st.
Maybe so, because we release only every second month, maybe people won't even notice. But still, we don't try like politicians or something to hide the facts away. We apologize. We have had very much to do.
Yeah, it was a very busy time. So, but we will manage it from now on.
Yes.
And today we will talk about the Swedish election that has just ended, and the Nordic Resistance Movement participated, and we did that in four smaller municipalities as well as in the parliamentary elections, but where we actually invested most in the municipalities. Simon Lindberg will explain later in the program why we actually do elections if we believe in parliamentary democracy and so forth. I want to begin here by talking a bit about local activism, because one thing we did well in the election is that we invested locally in smaller municipalities where the political power is weak. And our view is that the bigger cities are multiracial shitholes, even in Sweden, and that the demographics there are to our disadvantage. We will not take back the cities first, and it will not happen because of elections either. Of course, it is worth organizing flash demonstrations there from time to time, to show that we can, and to show strength as a pure propaganda demonstration. But it is locally in those forgotten areas that there is greater support for our organization and our ideas, and which I believe is also a fact in other white countries. The election results seem to confirm this. There are smaller regions where we received as many parliamentary votes as in the regions of Stockholm or Gothenburg, big city areas. Sure, we can have the support of many even in the metropolitan regions, but I think the difference here is that the people there vote to a great degree tactically for an alternative that is already big and that they think can make a difference if they become even bigger, like the Sweden Democrats. People on the countryside, they vote for you, support you, eventually will become members in your organization because of heart and more because of principles. So we experience greater support locally, and that it is easier to become normalized there, which is why we also invest more locally with our resources and our time. Not only during election times, but also the rest of the time. I'm pretty sure that our strategy should be to grow in areas where the political power is weak, where the economy is weak, where the people are less afraid of people like us, and where people are still honest and think in terms of right and wrong. In Ludvika, in the region of Dalarna, which is the middle of Sweden, you could say, we have 1% of the votes and a lot of support. So 1% for the National Socialists, the most extreme, violent, child-eating organization in all of the Nordics, if not the world. And that says a lot. And what we can see in Ludvika is that it doesn't take much to become strong there. We have become strong in this municipality by simply moving several members there. When we are there, we start to discuss with people and conducting local activism and become even stronger. And when you have come this far, you can start thinking about the next steps, which we do, which include joining local associations where you can gain influence and influence decisions that are made in the municipality. Standing in municipal elections, as said, but above all, create platforms where you give something back to the local population. Something that perhaps both they and we need, like starting a gym and offering martial arts training or culture, like music or folk dance. Provide a youth center for Swedish young people or a pub for the others. Things like that. Then you will be able to build community in a way that is, or Volksgemeinschaft, in a way that is much more difficult in big cities. And when you grow strong in one municipality, you can expand to the neighboring municipality to finally become strong in a large or a medium-sized region. There is another big advantage to moving to the same areas, namely that you become very strong as a group when you live close, when you train together, when you plan and carry out actions together. So, yeah, that's my take on it all. The Nordic Resistance Movement has a sound strategy in this matter, which is already bearing fruit, but which in the longer term will bring great success. So, yeah, over and out from me.
Yes, thanks for that. And as no difference, maybe, of course, I agree with what you said. This is strategies we have been discussing for years in the leadership level, at least. So, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're moving on to the segment of what has been going on in the struggle since the last episode. And I think it would be a lot of election talk, but this is from the middle of July until now, when we record 1 week after the Swedish election campaigns, the ending of the Swedish election campaign in the middle of September.
Yes, it has been an extremely good and very, very active period. I would say that it has most certainly been the most active period for the Nordic resistance movement, probably since 4 years ago, the last time we participated in the elections. Around 350 activities have been conducted throughout the north. A whole lot of it is, of course, as you said, connected activism connected to the election campaign in Sweden. However, of course, there has been conducted activism also in the other Nordic countries where there has not been any election going on. Not only has there been more activities than usual, there has also been a lot of very good and high quality activism carried out. For example, since the last time we recorded Leadership Perspective, there has been well over 50 public activities carried out. Public activities where our activists took place on streets and squares, handing out flyers and participated in discussions with people regarding National Socialism. And some of these activities have been held for several hours, some of them operating from tents with huge Tivas runes on them to maximize the interest for us. Most of these activities and also a lot of basic activism was carried out in the four cities where we participated in the election. And those are, as you also mentioned in the introduction, Ludvika, Munkedal, Vetlanda and Örkelljunga. And I would say especially our activists in the city of Ludvika that you also talked about in the introduction, but the activists there, they are worth a huge shout out because of their extremely high level of public activism during this period. It wouldn't surprise me if some of them stood in public and conducted activism for at least 100 hours since the last episode of Leadership Perspective. That's some time to put down in the struggle and in just being on the streets and squares, except for traveling there, except for everything else they've done. Several times a week, they have attended the city center outside of shopping malls and in smaller villages around Ludvika, and without any fights, without any problems to report at all. And I must say, this is truly impressing. As said, this have been done a lot also in the other free election municipalities, even though not in the same enormous extent as in Ludvika. So, hats off for Ludvika activists. In Munkedal, the most impressive activity was a counter-demonstration against the left-wing party. The left-wing party announced a public demonstration against racism to protest that Nordic Resistance Movement participated in the elections in Munkedal. And Nordic Resistance Movement showed up on the square where they gathered. Actually, our activist was already on the square when the left hearts showed up. And yeah, you were giving a speech, Dav Eidland, that drowned out their speech. And our comrades followed the left hearts everywhere they went and mocked them, trying to get them to take the debate against us. And as it was clear, they would not do that by chanting, "No communists on our streets."
Yeah, it was a really fun day. And yeah, we did what the left usually do against nationalists, actually. So like you said, we came there, we took their place. We managed to, our speech was louder than theirs. We stood closer to the people, so they didn't reach out to the people. And after the speech, we stood in the way, we mocked them, we followed them all around the town. It was really funny. And I don't think that they will do a demonstration against us again in the future.
Not anytime soon, at least.
No.
No, it was a very good activity, and I also believed it looked very fun to participate in, as you also witness about. And we also released a movie from there where you can see they actually, they have to crawl under our guys carrying flags and so on to get forward on the streets. It looks really hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. I will continue here. Also in the capital of Sweden, in Stockholm, there has been, even though we didn't participate in the election there, there has been some really nice public activities during the election period. Several times our comrades there took to the streets in the most central parts of the capital, getting loads of attention from bypassing people. And there is actually one really nice picture from one of these activities where you can see that all of our guys are completely surrounded by curious people, debating with them and asking them questions. It is like 10 people or something surrounding each one of our activists to really try to get a chance to speak with our guys. It looks quite amazing, actually. Our Stockholm activists, they have also stood outside of the Swedish parliament with a banner saying, throw the race traitors out of the parliament. And at one occasion, they counter-protested the Swedish prime minister when she was giving a speech outside of Stockholm in the multicultural hellhole of Botkyrka. The traitors, they should always know that they are followed and that they will be confronted, and that we are everywhere, that we will show up when they least expect it. And that, I think, they did good, the Stockholm activists, by these activities.
Yeah, that was really great.
Then, in the city of Jönköping, our activists made an activity that was a bit different, trying to think outside of the box, when they drove around in a motorboat in the harbor, with our flags and a microphone connected to huge speakers. So they, from the boat, shouted slogans and encouraged people to support the Nordic resistance movement. And as I mentioned several times here in Leadership Perspective in the past, I am always so happy. It's always so nice when our guys do things out of the ordinary. So I like this one.
Yeah, I think the next leader there promised to have a air balloon next time.
Yeah, right. That's right. In next election. So 4 years you have to wait for this. But when he was a little bit pressed, maybe we can say we made actually on the election day, we made a TV podcast, you can see, say, in the where we interview different guests. And there he promised this, balloon before the next election.
And that is a great way to do activism, to use like boats, air balloons, maybe planes.
Drones.
Drones as well. So, just do it.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, if you listen to this and belong to another good nationalist organization, we would love to see you stealing these ideas from us, for sure. That would only be good for the internal competition between us.
Yeah, and we actually wrote about Jungetat when they climb out those lifting cranes and put banners. That's a good action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Otherwise, surrounding the election campaign in Ludvika, Munkedal, as well as Vetlanda, we also announced public lectures with me and a local represent at each one of the cities. So in all these cities, we spread flyers several days in a row, inviting people to come to these lectures and listen to what our struggle is actually about. And this is, of course, also a little part being played in building up ourselves up in these smaller local societies. That if we can get people to come to us, listen to what we actually want, we can encourage them and make them become part of the struggle. And on all three of these lectures, at least some curious outsiders showed up and listened to my lecture that was about the Great Replacement. And they also got to listen to a local representative talking about what politics we would like to pursue in the different municipalities. And this is something, at least not in several years, we have done it. And this locally, we have never done it before. But I definitely think it's something we should do more again sometime in the future, at least. So, because I think it is a hard step to actually get people that have nothing to do with us to dare to come to one of these things. But if we get them there, I think that 90% of them will join us, actually. therefore, I think it is a good idea to continue with this.
Yeah, and even though it's hard, it came a half a dozen people, something like that.
Mm.
Not 100 people, but it came some. And yeah. Like you said, if a half dozen people join us in that area, it will be very great because it's small areas.
Mm. Absolutely. Yes. And then if we continue, nothing to do with the election, but also in the very northern city of Skellefteå, we carried out a really successful square meeting with a speech. And this was after a terrible happening in the city where a 10-year-old little Swedish girl was brutally beaten and raped by an African teenager. So our guys was quite fast to take on the streets, and of course the people in the city were furious, and many shared their support with our activists. Of course it would have been better if we could be there before this happened, but at least we are warning other people of keeping their daughters away from places where there are Africans roaming. We have also continued to act against cultural Marxist gay pride summer that has been taking place in all major cities throughout the northern countries. In last episode, we reported about a lot of activism taking place in Norway on this matter. But this time, I can also report that, among other things, in Sweden, we put up a huge amount of banners stating no pedophiles on our streets. And of course, for the Swedish hate speech laws, we do not say that homosexuals are pedophiles or anything. It's just a coincidence that we choose this message on the banners. But a good time for it to be seen by many people when they had the gay parade at the same time. Then on Iceland, we got a lot of media attention, actually, after putting up posters. A lot of posters on the pride parades in defense of the natural families. And then in the Danish city of Sønderborg, the streets were filled with propaganda the night before the very first Pride parade was ever held in Sønderborg. However, here our activists were arrested by police, who were really harassing our guys. They kept them in custody for 24 hours, they raided their homes, they raided their cars, and they seized computers, phones, clothes, flags, and propaganda. All of this for only putting up posters and handing out flyers questioning the gay pride agenda and celebrating the two natural genders. So that's the way it could be sometimes when you are a part of the real opposition. We also participated at Patriotic Alternatives international event, Indigenous Peoples Day. In all the Nordic countries, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, and Finland, there were activism conducted on the theme White Lives Matter. And I must say here that our guys in Norway were the ones that had the best results this day. Except for a public activity in the city of Moss, also gigantic posters were put next to the highway outside of Bergen, and also metal plates were both screwed and glued up around in different popular rest areas and hiking trails. And also this I have never seen before. Also this was actually thinking a little bit outside of the box, actually. And it also got some media attention because the people hired by the state to take these metal plates down, they had a real problem in doing so, since they have said screw them and glue them, and then they took away the screw heads. So they had a really hard time getting them down.
Very creative.
Yes. In Finland, the traditional demonstration to remember the victims of the act of terror in Turku 2017, where a racial stranger stabbed several Finnish people, was carried out. It was a worthy and good demonstration with no major problems, even if the Reds tried to attack the demonstration and they threw some paint balloons at the demonstration or something. The Reds, of course, by this showing, as we of course already know, that they love multicultural terrorism. But it all went fine, and it was as it used to be. As said, this demonstration has been up for the fifth year in a row now. So then, and actually almost to that, you forget it because of all the propaganda activism that has been carried out. Even though it's actually a really big and really important event, I almost forgot that this was this time period. But we also arranged yearly traditional Nordic days during this period. Admit, you also thought it was a longer time since that was Vagland. The Nordic days.
Yeah, it was. I thought we spoke about it last time, but...
We didn't. It was actually these last 2 months, the Nordic days. And yeah. As usual, it was very much appreciated with prestigious Pentathlon Nordic Man of the Year competition, with activities for children, marketplace, good food, nice speeches. And the Nordic Man of the Year was won by the loyal activist Niklas Nyåling. Well-deserved. After a hard struggle containing boxing, deadlifts into overhead press, tug of war, and more. Truly amazing achievement, and I will say I salute him. So hail Niklas Nyåling. There has also been carried out activist days in Denmark. After a full day of speeches, managerial appointments, and social activities, the participants traveled together to the second biggest city in Denmark, Aarhus, to conduct a public leafletting accompanied by a speech being held three times on three different places in the city. So they first stood at one place for some hour, handed out leaflets, giving this speech, and then they moved to another place and then to a third place. Really nice activity, very well done by our Danish comrades. It's nice to see that it's possible to also take control of the bigger Danish cities, at least for some hours. Somewhere in between all of this, we actually also had the time to climb several mountains. Among these, the highest mountain throughout the north, Galdhøpiggen in Norway. And actually also the highest mountain in the United Kingdom, Ben Nevis. These tops are quite popular, since they are the highest ones, but also because they contain of quite easy climbing. It's more a walk upside, a very long hill, than it is actual mountain climbing. And therefore, our comrades in both Norway and when they went to the UK also climbed other, a bit lower, but anyway harder mountaintops. They weren't thrilled enough with climbing the highest tops. There are also really nice pictures from these activities, and yeah, it looked like they had a good time in both the places. By the way, on the way back from the UK, back home to Sweden, our guys were stopped and harassed by the British secret police, MI5. They were interrogated for so long that they missed the plane back home and had to stay in Scotland for an extra night. So, yeah, another example of how it can be a part of the real opposition. Another very differently activity compared to what we usually do, but what we have done during this period, was a dance evening with speed courses in different types of folk dance. It turned out to be a good form of exercises combined with affirming the culture of our people, and at the same time a school to train our activists to become perfect gentlemen. You know, the men in the German Waffen-SS were fought to dance the years before the war broke out in the SS school. And for our term, this was the first but probably not the last time that the folk dance was on the schedule of a Nordic Resistance Movement event. Then the last things I want to mention are some acts of violence that have been happening during the period. It is actually quite unusual that something bad happens when we conduct our activities. I would say it's maybe one of maybe 500 activities where we are involved in some kind of a fight. It only happens, of course, when some non-whites or leftists attack our members, and we have to fight back. And during such an extremely active period as we now have gone through with the election, it has been violence at least 3 times in total that I know of. First, at one occasion in Stockholm, where our comrades put up posters in the early morning, and they came to see some anti-fascists putting up their banners and their posters. Our guys watched them for some time before making a move. But not much violence was necessary, though. The Reds tried to flee, but were caught up by our guys, and they voluntarily handed over all their propaganda, and also one of them handed over her wallet to us. Very strange behavior, I must say, to just give away your wallet like that. But of course, I would like to take the opportunity to thank Antifa for their economical contribution to our cause. Thank you, Antifa. The Reds were let go after this, and all their propaganda was teared down again. So a really happy ending.
Yeah, but the one that handed over her wallet was doxxed.
Yeah.
So, thank you, and yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do not hand over your wallet next time, just an advice.
Yeah.
Learn to run faster if you're conducting Antifa activities. Yeah, there has also been fights 2 times, actually, in the city of Örkelljunga. First one, there were a couple of infamous refugee huggers that tried to steal a phone from our activists, and because of this, a fight broke loose. Our guys won the fight, and then they left the place, no problems. A week after this, the day before the election, however, our guys were less lucky. However, we don't know many details yet. A fight broke out for some reason. Our guys won the fight, as it seems, but was later arrested by the police, and they have to stay in custody since then. A week ago now, when we record this episode. The Lügenpresse wrote in their headlines that a 16-year-old innocent girl was assaulted by our activists for no reason at all, other than some misunderstanding and blah, blah, blah. However, the two guys that got arrested are very loyal National Socialists that have been a member of the Nordic Resistance Movement for several years, both of them. And personally, I would like to state that I trust them 100%. And I know that these guys, they would never use violence unless they had good reasons to do so. And of course, it could sound bad if it's true that a 16-year-old girl was beaten, but even if this is true, then of course there could be good explanations. As said, we do not know what happened, but we could play around with the idea. Maybe the girl was masked together with her male comrades, so you couldn't see that it was a girl. Maybe she came at our guys with some kind of weapon in our hands. Maybe she spat in the face of our guys. Maybe she acted as a shield to men that was violent towards our activists, so she was put in the middle, and so on and so on. Also, we don't know how severely beaten she was. Maybe she wasn't even beaten. Maybe she would just fell to the ground or something. Or maybe these persons that got in the fight with our activists were infamous Antifa activists. And then if this girl were with these other infamous Antifa activists, she will, of course, be treated as Antifa activists.
Yeah, but, and what we do know, I don't know if we're going to talk about that, but we do know that the Antifa was the first to have information about this attack before the media, detailed information. So, yeah.
Yeah. But as said, we will get more details soon, I hope. But I really would like to point out again that I really trust these guys, and therefore I, of course, also trust their judgment. Therefore, without knowing what happened, I can confidently say that they did nothing wrong. And because of their arrest, I feel very bad, though, both for our activists that are in custody, but also for their families. And I really hope that they will be released soon. But according to the prosecutor, though, they will not be released before trial, and will probably get convicted of several months or maybe even years in prison. So it's a quite bad situation for them, at least if the prosecutor has her saying. But of course, we in the Nordic Resistance Movement will do our best to help out the families, financial and in other ways possible. And with this matter, also you who are listening to this could support us. You can help us out economically, and if you do so after this show and let us know, then we will use all the money to prison help, to help out the families as long as our guys are in jail. And either you can transfer us cryptocurrency or send cash by snail mail. And all the details for this can be found on nordicresistancemovement.org/donations. Or you can also transfer money to one of our international accounts. And to get the account details, you can email us on info@nordicresistance.org. So support is needed for our imprisoned comrades. Send cryptocurrency or cash by mail. Information nordicresistancemovement.org/donations. Or transfer to our international bank accounts. You get the details if you email us on info@nordicresistance.org. Thanks a bunch in advance for your support and your proven solidarity. Freedom for all nationalists. And with those words, I am happy for this time. As I said, an extremely active period for the Nordic Resistance Movement, but with some sacrifices needing to be done from two of our loyal activists right in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, very busy. Busy period of time. And yeah, we will talk a little bit more about that in the ideological, tactical, philosophical question, but also other stuff. We will talk a little about the Nordic Resistance Movement's participation in the Swedish elections and our political party work. After all, the Nordic Resistance Movement professes to the National Socialist worldview and not the liberal democratic one. How is it then that we will stand in liberal democratic elections?
We work in as many ways as possible to get us forward and to reach out to awake the people. And one of these ways are through the elections. It is actually a quite efficient way to be active with propaganda around this time when ordinary people actually take a somewhat interest in political questions. Otherwise, normally, most people couldn't care less. But a couple of months before the election, when also other parties are active with their propaganda, common people seem to have at least somewhat higher political awareness. And as one of our goals is to actually reach out to people and make them care, it would be unwise of us not to use this opportunity. And since we are already out there on the streets anyway trying to convince people about the righteousness of National Socialism, of course we could as well be participating in the elections. However, as the system is rigged and most people are completely brainwashed, we know that we most certainly won't get elected anywhere. But that is actually not the main point of participating in elections for us either. To get elected somewhere would be a really nice bonus, but it's not the main reason why we participate. And if we look at the question in a wider and more historical and maybe philosophical way, it could be mentioned that Adolf Hitler and the German National Socialists, they participated in elections. So it's not like it's something, it's some hypocrisy or anything for us to participate in the elections. Adolf Hitler, he was actually voted into power, as most of you probably know. Even if we would like to change the system, way of rule, and the social conditions, why should we not try to do this through the current system, through the current rule, and the actual social conditions of today? We mainly focus on municipality elections in small cities, though, in places where we are already established, just like you said in your introduction. And here, on these smaller municipalities, the main purpose is to grow stronger, to getting normalized, and to recruit new members. And for those purposes, the election campaign is very, very good.
Yeah, I think it's important to not have any illusions that we will come to power through the election, the parliamentary elections. But we must, of course, use the tools that are available. And yeah, this time we used election. But another thing that the movement, the nationalists use is social media, for example. Who owns the social media? Who owns the big tech? It's the Jews.
Good comparison, actually.
But we use it, but we have no illusions that we will even change, come to power by using social media. But it is one step of many. So
good.
Yes, but is the Nordic Resistance Movement a party or a fighting organization?
We are a struggle organization, as we have always said, but we are a struggle organization with a parliamentary branch. Hence, we are not identifying ourselves as a political party, but we are registered as one and we take part in the elections. But the parliamentary struggle is, as said, just one of many branches, one of many ways in which we fight to secure the survival of our people. So a struggle organization with a parliamentary branch, that is the answer.
Okay, but are there any benefits to working like this over being just a political party?
Yes, I would say there are actually several advantages. First of all, and probably the most important one, is that we have a much wider and more long-term goals. We have bigger visions for our operation than to just get into the parliament. With our struggle, we try to create a new and flourishing society within this rotting society. And we try to create a better people, starting with our own members. Our struggle is not even mainly about propaganda and to gain popularity, but foremost to prepare ourselves for the future and to prepare ourselves for our chance to grab the power. We aim to make our members strong physically as well as mentally, and also to get them well experienced and educated for all kinds of different possible scenarios the future might hold for us. For these purposes, we conduct martial art training, survival in the wilderness and hiking, lectures, study circles, educations, and much more, also except for the propaganda activities. So we can do all of this because we are a struggle organization with these bigger visions than if we were just a party trying to get into the parliament. But then, of course, this also means that we can be active with different campaigns, political campaigns, propaganda campaigns, every day out of every year, where the political parties mainly are active only around the elections. They only strive to get elected, so they only need to be active right before the elections. But since we have other bigger goals, we can be active whenever we want and how much we want. I also want to highlight the totally different strategy and view on society, politics, and actually the whole life this gives us. Because politicians in the political parties, they are egocentric and they do not care for the future. They say whatever kind of shit to get them elected, exaggeration and plain lies included. They cuck about everything and always give as vague answers as possible to try to be liked by everyone. But we do the opposite of all of this. We advocate the full truth and nothing but the truth. And we say what needs to be said. Of course, this does not make us nearly as popular as if we would act as the other politicians do. But we instead can stand with our backs straight. And in the long run, this will also gain us. When the shit eventually hits the fan, people will see the difference between us and them. They will know us as honest men and women, as fighters, not as sleazy salesmen and politicians. As our main goal is what is best for our race in the eternity, and not only what is best for us right now, we can act very differently and we won't get corrupted as they can become. So I think there are several benefits of being a whole struggle organization with parliamentary brands than being a political party.
Yes, and when a wise decision made to form this parliamentary branch?
The final decision, I believe, was made in 2014. Actually, you should know better, Weidland, but I believe after actually years of discussions around the topic. But however, the important things maybe is that in 2015, our party was registered. And in 2018, we participated in the elections for the first time. And except for all the pros I have already talked about, there is actually one more interesting thing worth of mention that you gain by being a registered party. And that is that it gives us a way better protection from getting banned. To ban a registered political party that participates in democratic elections is something the establishment would really like to avoid, because they are afraid that people then would see through this and start to question their so-called democracy. We can look at Germany to get good examples on this. Each and every month, almost, small nationalist groups are being banned in different parts of Germany. It is illegal in Germany to be National Socialist, but also it's illegal in Germany to be something that even closely resembles to National Socialism. However, still, our friends in Der Dritte Weg, they are still up and running. They are not being banned, even though they are openly, quote, national revolutionary socialists. And several way more liberal nationalist organizations than this got banned through the years. But the reason for them not being banned is because the extra protection they get because they are a registered party. And we can also see it here in the North. We in the Nordic Resistance Movement, we were banned in Finland. We were not a registered party in Finland. But here in Sweden, we are legally up and running, at least so far at least. And it will make a much bigger process for them to ban us than when they finally decide to go through with this, with their threats and do so. I believe that probably we would already have been banned in Sweden if we weren't a political party, because they have tried several times, but they always stumble on their own laws.
Yeah, they do. They tried at least four times.
Mm.
So are there any disadvantages to running for office?
Yes, there are at least one huge con, I would say, and that is when the results of the election are published, since they never mirror the actual support we get out there. I promise you that we have thousands, tens of thousands of people within Sweden that support our cause and sympathize with our political views, but that would never vote for us. Instead, they also, like you talked a little bit about in the introduction, they would vote for the bigger established parties, since they do not believe the smaller parties have any chance to affect anything anyway. And I guess for our American listeners, I guess you recognize this. I guess it's much like participating with a third party in the elections in America. So we have no one votes for the third party. They only vote for the two big parties anyway. So we have a bigger support than what could be seen in the number of votes we get. We have a lot bigger support than can be seen in the number of votes we get. But of course, our enemies, they use these lesser numbers to try to demoralize us and our supporters. They do this to make it seem like we are marginalized and no one likes us, no one supports us, and blah, blah, blah. And in some cases, sadly, they also succeed with this. And with that, people leaving or people that were supporting us never joining us as a result. So this is the big con, I would say, that you have to wage against the pros.
And you almost mentioned it, but how did the election in Sweden go then?
I would say this depends if you look at the votes or if you look at the actual results we gain from participating in the elections. Because if you look at the figures for the national parliament, it went really bad, actually. As said, almost all of our supporters vote for the Sweden Democrats instead of us, since the Sweden Democrats are in the parliament already. It doesn't matter that Sweden Democrats are a sleazy right-wing political party that denies racism and supports Israel, and therefore actually are miles away from the Nordic resistance movement, because still people believe this is the lesser evil of the established parties, and that there is no meaning to vote for a small party like us. I guess, again, comparing to America, this is like voting for the Republicans instead of voting for the Democrats, even if there might be a third party that are openly National Socialists. So in the municipalities where we participated, the counting of votes is still not ready, but it does at least not look like we got elected anywhere in the municipalities either.
Yeah, because in Ludvika municipality, they actually made public our votes from the beginning. So we know that we have, was it 0.9 or 1%, around 1% there. Very good, I think.
And it can actually, even though they have this, there can be more votes added to this actually when the final results come in, because this is just some kind of preliminary result.
Yeah, and in the other three municipalities, our votes are within the other parties, it's called. So we don't know how many votes we have from the other parties yet. I think we will know this week or something.
Yeah, but at least it doesn't seem like we get any elected anywhere. But yes, 1% is not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, in Ludvika, I think it's 26,000 people, small municipality. We have several hundred people there that vote for National Socialists. Mm. And even though we don't get any seats, if we can organize these people, these hardcore NS people, it would be great.
Yes. And also this was expected. As said, it would be a bonus if we got in, but it was expected. We'd planned for not getting in. But if we don't look just at the results, if we also look at the total benefits from the election struggle, if we look at how many people we actually have reached out to during this period when they're more interested in politics, if we look to how extremely normalized we have become in these municipalities where we participated in the local elections and so on, then I would say we have made a really successful run, actually. Just as you are into, I mean, from being seen as criminal terrorists, I would say, like, people, through the media picture, people maybe look at us as some kind of mix between Al-Qaeda and Hells Angels or something. And then from this picture, Al-Qaeda mixed with Hells Angels, to being seen just like any other party participating in the election, but of course with a little different approach, and of course with more radical policies. That is a big step, and it's an important step to actually start getting somewhere. And this is definitely a step. I believe that we took this election more or less in all these four municipalities.
I totally agree. Do you believe in greater success with the votes in the future? Is there any chance that voting could actually lead us to some position or power in the future?
There might, of course, be chances that we eventually get into some smaller municipalities in the future, but most certainly we will not get much more success than that by the democratic elections. I mean, our enemies own the media. They write whatever they want about us without us getting the chance to respond, or they don't write anything at all about us, no matter what we do. Our enemies, they count and register the votes without us getting a chance to call out even a small chance of their fraud. Our enemies, they write the rules, and they are the judges and the jury in this game. They can, whenever they like, just change the rules against, or they can, whenever they like, cheat with only a small risk of getting caught. In these games of theirs, we could be seen as simply pawns. And for sure, we will never win this fight by the elections and ballots. At least not as long as the enemies of our people are in total control of the society. Only a full-scale revolution could make things right and white again. However, participating in the game could give us benefits on our way towards our end goal. And as said, that's why we are doing it.
Will the Nordic Resistance Movement form parliamentary branches in the other Nordic countries as well? Do you generally think that the other nationals around the world should organize themselves in the same way?
When we believe that we have the capacity for it, then we might do so. However, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money and a lot of resources to first register a party and then also to actually participate in elections. So as with everything else, the pros must be compared and measured to the cons. And then you get a result, then you take action. This is also what I think for all our nationalist friends around the world that they should do. They should really look into it, measure the pros to the cons, and then take a decision. However, whatever decision you came up with, I do believe that all of you, registered political parties or not, should take the opportunity to conduct as much propaganda activities as you possibly can at the same time as the established political parties conduct their election campaigns. As said, this is a great opportunity to reach out to the people when they have this temporarily raised interest in politics.
For sure. And when is the next election in Sweden, and what will the Nordic Resistance Movement deal with until then?
We have elections every fourth year in Sweden during ordinary circumstances. So unless something extraordinary happens, next election will take place in the year of 2026. So that is four more years of mass immigration and four more years of cultural Marxist craziness. Four more years of the replacement of white Swedes with non-Europeans. But we, of course, will not wait all these years. We will continue our fight just as usual. We are active 365 days a year, and we are active every year, no matter if there are elections or not. We will continue to evaluate our strategies and our work to get sharper and find the best possible ways to become stronger, bigger, and better. We will continue to work in every possible way that we can to raise our chances of conquering tomorrow. We will do it with both public propaganda activities and with internal happenings, such I mentioned earlier, to create a society within the society and or to build up our member and make them become better human beings.
Any closing words for our listeners for this time?
Yeah, I would really like to stretch once again. Don't make the mistake believing that we could get somewhere for real within the elections. We can use the elections to gain benefits. We can use the elections to move forward. But if we mainly focus on the election, I believe the nationalist scene are doomed. Don't make the mistake believing that we could have a bright future by just trying to vote the problems away. The only thing that can save our people are blood, sweat, and tears. And when you have bled, when you have sweated, when you have cried, then even more blood, sweat, and tears are needed. No matter what some politicians may want you to believe, there are no shortcuts to win this game. There is only the long and hard road. However, also no matter what some charlatans might say, there will be an end of the road if we just keep on fighting the radical way. And when we are finally there at the end, then National Socialism will rise again.
Yes, and with that we close the chapter for this time. Questions and suggestions on topics for future episodes of Leadership Perspective can be sent to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. Next episode will be available by the 2nd of November. See you then. Bye.
Yes, and on NordicResistanceMovement.org, as I said earlier, you can also find out how to donate to us so we can help the activists in prison and their families. So thank you again. Thank you for listening. Take care and goodbye.